Good morning and welcome to St. Luke's Church. Thank you for gathering with us today to make Eucharist.
As you are able, please stand and join us in singing hymn number 414 as found in your blue hymnal.
Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be God's kingdom. Now.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord.
Lord, hear our
Let your continual mercy, O Lord, cleanse and defend your church. And because it cannot continue in safety without your help, protect and govern it always by your goodness. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Exodus. The whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I am going to rain bread from heaven for you. And each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. In that way I will test them, whether they follow my instruction or not." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the Israelites, 'Draw near to the Lord, for he has heard your complaining.'" And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the Israelites, they looked toward the wilderness, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, "I have heard the complaining of the Israelites. Say to them, 'At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God.' In the evening, quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine, flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, 'It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat.'" The word of the Lord. A reading from the letter of Paul to the Ephesians. I, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people. When it says he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the same one who ascended far above all the heavens so that he might fill all things. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Let us attend to the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. On the next day, when the people who remained after the feeding of the 5,000 saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing?" "Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to this world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
One of the things that I really love about Eastern Christian spirituality is the way that so many of their liturgical practices and their understanding of the liturgical practices we share reverse subject and object. Now, I could use a little help from our kids who are here today, especially our kids who have been to English class before, who've done some sentence diagramming. So tell me, if you paid attention in English, you're looking at a sentence, we'll say, "I dropped the ball." What is the subject of that sentence? "I dropped the ball." Anybody? I, correct. This one is a plant. This is my daughter. But yes, "I" is the subject of that sentence. And then the second word, "dropped," that would be the verb, right? Okay, and then at the end of the sentence is the ball, and that is known as the object, right? So, if we're looking at English class, thanks, folks. Subject is "I." That's the thing that does the acting, the verb, which is dropped. And then ball is object. The thing that is dropped is acted upon. So to bring it out of English class, because you're on summer break, you don't need to be in school right now. To bring it out of that and back here into the church, Eastern Christian spirituality reverses our perceived experience of subject and object. A great example would be in the use of icons in worship. If you've ever been to an Eastern Orthodox church, every possible service will be covered with an icon. And we have a few of them right here and one on the east wall over there. Now, our experience of this is that there are icons in a church, and we come into the church and look at them, right? Fairly obvious. But from the Eastern Orthodox perspective, it is not we who are looking at the icons. At a deeper level, it's the icons that are looking at us. Heaven is gazing us. This in the letter of the Hebrews is the great cloud of witnesses that's bearing witness to us and cheering us on in our struggle and the faith on earth. So that's the reversal of the subject and object. We can also see it in their understanding of the Eucharist, which I think fits in our theological understanding as well. To look at a congregation in a church on Sunday morning receiving communion, it seems that there are people coming into a church, reaching out their hands, and eating bread, correct? But if you read the 4th century preacher, St. John Chrysostom, he says, even though that's what it looks like, what's really happening is the body of Christ is, in a sense, consuming us. Subject and object are being reversed, turned upside down, or maybe right side up, depending on how you look at it. So this relates to today's reading very closely, this reversal of subject and object. Because the reading begins, and there's a whole crowd of people who have gathered, who have been looking for Jesus. This takes place after the feeding of the 5,000, as we heard. And they walk up to Jesus and they say, "Oh, hey, when did you get here? We're glad to see you." And they ask this question, but Jesus, in that typical enlightened, yet still annoying Jesus way, refuses to answer the question that he is asked. Because they say, "Oh, hey, Rabbi, when did you get here?" And he says, "I know why you're looking for me. You don't really want to get to know me. You're interested in what I can do for you. You're looking for me because you ate your fill of the loaves," how he says it. He can kind of see through their charade, their pretense of piety, which makes them uncomfortable, understandably. Because as the people are searching for Jesus in this scene that we are looking at today, they're coming with their own self-interest in mind. They do want to know what Jesus can do for them. Hey, here's a guy who can feed 5,000 people with just a couple loaves of bread. Yeah, that's a guy you want to keep around. But Jesus is saying, listen, it isn't about that. It's not about you being the subject of your own life. It's not about what I can do for you. This is something that I think we in 21st century North America are just as prone to as folks in first century Palestine were. We too tend to have a very self-centered orientation to our lives. We want to know what others can do for us. What have you done for me lately? We even bring that to church. We come with our issues and our problems and the stuff that's occupying our minds and our feelings, and we're coming and we're saying, "Oh, Jesus, help me fix my marriage. Jesus, help me find a job. Jesus, help me be happier in life." And we come with all of our junk and we carry it with us here in the worship. But it's all about us. We are still the subject of the sentence that we start. And we come thinking that by coming to church, we're going to get God into our life. But really, just like with the icons and what St. John Chrysostom wrote about the Eucharist, it's not really about getting God into our lives. What's really going on, and what I think Jesus is really interested in this passage and in our lives generally, is getting us into God's life, welcoming us into God's life. This is how Jesus responds to them when he says, "Don't work for the food that perishes. Don't be so caught up in what I can do for you today. Instead, work for the food that endures for eternal life." He's telling them that the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And it's not about what I can do for you. It's about coming into the life of God, being welcomed around that table of the Holy Trinity. So the people, that they hear Jesus' insight. They are made uncomfortable by his refusal to answer their question. And they say, okay, we hear what you're saying, Jesus. Work for the food that endures for eternal life. All right, so how do we do this work? What is it that we're supposed to do? And Jesus says to them, this is the work of God. To believe in the one whom he has sent. To believe. Now, that's a phrase we can hear pretty frequently in church, right? You know, I believe in God, I believe in Jesus. We say it in the creeds every Sunday. Seems like a pretty straightforward thing. If I say I believe in God, typically we mean I accept the idea of a supreme being or a creator. And that's what it means to believe in God, to give mental assent to an idea. But that's not actually what Jesus says here. If we were to look at this text in the language it was written in, Greek, the word believe, the word that is translated believe from Greek is pisteo. And while believe isn't a bad translation of it, I think a slightly better one would actually be the word trust. Trust in the one whom God has sent. Trust in me, Jesus says. Now, trust is a hard thing, but it's something we all have to do. From the very first moment of our lives. So, kids, maybe you could help me again. When you think about your parents, your moms and dads, do you have to trust them to get you the things that you need? Is that true? Yes. We do. So Lewis. Okay, Bram, you're here. So, do you guys have jobs? And do you go to work to pay the mortgage and stuff? No, you don't. No. Your parents do that. So, do you go grocery shopping for yourself, Susanna? No, not so much. Not so much. Violet, are you driving yourself to school these days? Not yet? Ticking clock, that day's coming. No. As kids, and we've all been kids at some point, or are kids now, we understand that we can't do a lot of stuff for ourselves. We have to depend. We have to trust in others to take care of us, to keep us safe, fed, sheltered, educated. Our center of gravity, in a sense, is outside of ourselves. We have to trust. Now, as we get older, trust becomes more of a choice. Because we can maintain this illusion of self-sufficiency, which, while it's appropriate for the purpose of getting things done, it can sometimes get us caught up in our own little self-centered perspectives. At least I know it does for me. I see that in myself. Or we can look at others and say, what can you do for me? Or we even come to God and say, Jesus, what can you do for me? But we forget that we have to trust. When we enter into long-term relationships or marriages, we are trusting our partners not to tear our hearts out. When we accept a job, we are trusting our employers and our colleagues to treat us honestly and fairly. We have to have trust to enter into business relationships with one another, political relationships with one another. Trust is an essential component of human relationships, and so it is with God. We don't get to be the masters of our own destiny in our relationship with God. It's not up to us. Our center of gravity is outside of our bodies, outside of our minds. We have to depend on God and our spirituality. At a lot of summer camps, I don't know if we did this exercise this week, but a common one is the trust fall. Folks familiar with this? Kind of cross your arms and you fall back and you just hope somebody's going to be there to catch you. You have to trust your friends. That's an act of trust. As are the other kinds of relationships I mentioned. There's fear in trust. There's risk in trust. It's a hard thing to have your center of gravity outside yourself. To have subject an object reversed in your experience of the world. Yet that is what Jesus is inviting us to do today, is to trust God, to trust that we are going to receive all that we need in life, both this life and the next. Father Randall has often quoted to us the famous line from the Episcopal theologian Catherine Tanner, when she writes that God is always seeking to give everything that is God to everything that is not God. We've gotten used to hearing that, and I really like it. But today, with your blessing, Father, I'd like to try and do Catherine Tanner one better. That God is always seeking to bring everything that is not God into everything that is God. And I don't think Catherine Tanner would disagree in that. It's a reversal of subject and object. It is laboring for the food that endures for eternal life. It is placing our trust in a God who we cannot see, but who, beyond the reality of sense, sight, taste, touch, is there and is more real than we ourselves are, and is closer to us, as St. Augustine says, than even than our own hearts. As you look around at your life today, your relationships, your sense of vocation and purpose in life, and the needs of the world and the community around you, how is God leading you? Set your center of gravity outside of you to reverse subject and object, to not be the center of your own world. How is God calling you to do this in your life? And how are you going to trust him?
As you are able, please stand and face east, the direction of sunrise and a symbol of the resurrection, as we recite the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, Maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. In peace we pray to you, Lord God.
For all people in their daily life and work.
For our families, friends, and neighbors, and for those who are abroad.
We pray for Donald, our president, and for the legislative and judicial branches of our government. We pray for Stephen, Courtney, James, Joe, Nathan, Sarah, and Kristen, who serve in our armed forces, and for all people everywhere.
For this
community, the nation, and the world.
For all who work for justice, freedom, and peace.
We pray for the improvement of our societies, our natural environment, and our hearts.
For the just and proper use of your creation.
We pray for those who are addicted and those in recovery. We pray for the sick, especially Mike, Stephen, Ruthie, Ron, George, Harlan, Hope, Charlotte, Dan, Dorothy, Carolyn, Christine, Carol, Mary, Caitlin, Helen, Jessica, Rusty, Pete, Linda, Sid, Betsy, Donald, Bishop Curry, Marilyn, and Nancy. We pray for victims of natural disaster.
For all who are in danger, sorrow, or any kind of trouble.
For the peace and unity of the Church of God.
For all who proclaim the gospel and all who seek the truth.
For Michael, our presiding bishop, and Wayne, our bishop. For Randall, our priest, Greg, our deacon, and Michael in deacon's formation. For all bishops and other ministers.
For all who serve God in this church.
For the special needs and concerns of this congregation, praying especially for Kalamazoo Portage and our surrounding communities, for the vibrancy of our witness to Christ's love, and for the courage and capacity to serve in Christ's name.
Hear us, Lord.
We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings of this life, for those who are celebrating birthdays, Susan, Marjorie, Kay, Adam, Kathy, Joan, Barth, Don, Trevor, for those who are celebrating wedding anniversaries, Gretchen and Dan, Kelly and Art, Aubrey and Benjamin, for those who are celebrating baptismal anniversaries, Natalie and Mary.
We will exalt you, O God our King.
And praise your name forever and ever.
We pray for all who have died, that they may have a place in your eternal kingdom, remembering especially Clifford and Ken.
Lord, let your loving kindness be upon them.
Loving Jesus, protect and sustain us with your hand. Open the door of your love that, sealed with your wisdom, we may be free to serve you with joy.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God, our neighbors, and ourselves. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you
in thought, word, and deed, by all we have done and all we have undone. We have not loved you with our whole hearts. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us.
Almighty God, have mercy on us. Forgive us all our sins through the grace of Jesus Christ, Strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Offer to God a sacrifice of praise, that is the fruit of lips that acknowledge the divine name. But do not forget to do good and to share what you have, for such offerings are pleasing to God. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right. Give God thanks and praise.
We praise you and we bless you, holy and gracious God, source of life abundant. From before time you made ready the creation. Your Spirit moved over the deep and brought all things into being. Sun, moon, and stars, earth, winds, and waters, and every living thing. You made us in your image, and taught us to walk in your ways. But we rebelled against you and wandered far away. And yet, as a mother cares for her children, you would not forget us. Time and again you called us to live in the fullness of your love. And so this day we join with saints and angels in the chorus of praise that rings through eternity, lifting our voices to magnify you as we sing. Praise to you, holy and living God, to deliver us from the power of sin and death and to reveal the riches of your grace. You looked with favor upon Mary, your willing servant, that she might conceive and bear a son, Jesus, the Holy Child of God. Living among us, Jesus loved us. He broke bread with outcasts and sinners, healed the sick, and proclaimed good news to the poor. He yearned to draw all the world to himself, yet we were heedless of his call to walk in love. Then the time came for him to complete upon the cross the sacrifice of his life and to be glorified by you. On the night before he died for us, Jesus was at table with his friends. He took bread, gave thanks to you, broke it, and gave it to them and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." As supper was ending, Jesus took the cup of wine. Again, he gave thanks to you, gave it to them, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Now gathered at your table, O God of all creation, and remembering Christ crucified and risen, who was and is to come, we offer you our gifts of bread and wine, and ourselves a living sacrifice. Pour out your Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the body and blood of Christ. Breathe your Spirit over the whole earth and make us your new creation, the body of Christ given for the world you have made. In the fullness of time, bring us with Mary the God-bearer and all your saints from every tribe and language and people and nation to feast at the banquet prepared from the foundation of the world. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, to you be honor, glory, and praise forever and ever. Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Alleluia. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia.
The gifts of God for the people of God.
Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Tomio, in the name of this congregation, I send you forth bearing these holy gifts, that those to whom you go may share with us in the communion of Christ's body and blood. We who are many are one body, because we all share in one bread and one cup.
Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Please be seated.
The South region together. So do sign up, plan to be there. Last year it was a lot of fun, and everyone had a really good time. So do plan on being a part of that if you can.
As you are able, please stand.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst us and remain with us forever. Amen.
Thank you.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.